other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by Wild Dennis's Extra Big Jeans, the Long Pocket King. I'm Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Dave.
Hey, boys.
And Brick.
I don't like jeans with long pockets. It's annoying.
Me either. It's so annoying, right?
If the pocket's big enough for the phone to start to rotate, I don't like those pants.
We're talking about work, but not just work, but reading and working at the same time. Brick, tell us about this topic.
Yeah, I mean, not so much reading and working at the same time, because that's generally not working. But I guess the question is, I read a lot of books for work, either to better help me understand my own relationship to my profession, or in service of when I'm creating a training or working on some policy or something, doing, I don't know if research is the right word, but some sort of supplementary investigation and looking for more materials I can use in service of whatever it is I'm working on.
Right.
And it occurred to me when I was reading through some recently that what I'm looking for is very different than what I'm looking for when I read, you know, obviously fiction or even nonfiction. The ways that I evaluate the value of those books to me is very different.
Right.
And I was just wondering if you guys had that experience.
Yeah, I mean, I want to hear what Dave says, because I feel like you and I share, I mean, we're both working in education, so the kinds of reading we're doing there and bringing in our classrooms is pretty specific. It's like, yeah, you said, scholarship, or it's sort of like academic writing in some way.
Right.
And you're reading it for, because I feel like I'm reading it for utilitarian purposes, where I'm looking to use it in some way. I'm like, it's reading sort of functional in my classroom to some capacity. And I really don't care how the style is. Like, I was actually reading literature reviews. I'm trying to find examples of a literature review and political science to bring to my class, because we're doing literature reviews now. And I found one. I was reading through it, just kind of skim, make sure it was, you know, up to snuff, and I could talk about it in class. And I started reading a bit more, and I was like, oh, the prose here is actually kind of cool. Like, the prose style was surprising, and I found some things I really liked about it. And in class, I discussed how I was like, this is a typical literature review, but also does some really wild things I think are kind of fun. And, you know, no one cared. But to me, it was like, this is one of the first times I read something that was just for class. I was surprised that I enjoyed reading the style of it, right? Usually it's just like, this will do its job and get it done.
Right.
Dave, what about you? What is your experience in this regard?
Well, I don't really have any. I can't think of a time where I read a book that was intended to, I guess, aid me professionally. You know, I'm mostly dealing with client work, so, you know, creative work. And maybe I should be reading books on, you know, pedagogy and stuff. Is that kind of what we're talking about here?
Yeah.
And you do a lot of that, like, voluntarily?
I'm at a lot, but I do.
But some.
Yeah, some. Yeah. And, voluntary, but also it's for, to get the assignment done, too, sometimes. Like, a lot of times, for me, especially, it's examples of things that I would never read in my daily life, because I'm not a social scientist or whatever, that I have to read to figure out what my students should be doing, basically. But, yeah, it's also, yeah, textbooks, books on pedagogy, articles, journal articles, for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of journals.
Yeah. But a lot of that, I don't know about you, Brick, but for me, a lot of it is a skimming, right? Like, looking for just a couple takeaways.
It depends. So the sort of two avenues that I read for work are, you know, some sort of research, which is generally if I'm creating a training or, again, like, you know, working on some kind of thing that needs a little backing, in which case it's skimming until you find the right thing, and then it's reading pretty closely a few times and figuring out exactly how you can either use it or borrow from it or take advantage of it somehow in order to promote whatever it is you're working on. But then the other one, which I do care about style, is I'm always looking for things to give my employees or others who work around me that are accessible, that I can easily share to reinforce something we're working on. So if they're struggling with something that we've been working on together, some further reading they can do that's not going to stress them out, but that's going to be, they're going to read and be like, oh, I got something from this, but also you didn't give me homework, right? So,
right.
Which is a hard balance to find. So it's short articles, or it's books that don't have a high, like if I hand someone some kind of like complicated JSTOR journal, they're gonna be like, what the fuck is this, you know?
Right.
Or they're not gonna read it, and they're just gonna then feel stressed out that I'm giving them those things, and there's an expectation put on it, which is not the intent at all. It's more of a, hey, if you feel like it, check this thing out. It might, you know, this is what we've been talking about, and this is kind of related or tangential somehow, and you might get something out of it and you might not, but there's no harm at giving it a shot. So I'm always looking for those. And those can be hard to find, because you need to sort of not only be thinking about yourself, but other people when you're doing that, right? So
right.
If we're working on some kind of social emotional training, right? Finding the right thing that's going to help engage one person versus another is very different. And in a way, it can make it kind of fun to read through those and be looking for that. It's almost like a gift-giving kind of thing. And I'm sure it's the same for you. If you have a class that's kind of really struggling with something, you're going to look for reading to bring to that class that's different than maybe what you used last semester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking for something surprising or something. It's a nice feeling when you come across a text you can use in class that you hadn't encountered before and see the applications immediately.
Right.
It's a really fun, a rewarding place to be in where it's like, oh, I can use this tomorrow. It'll go over probably pretty well, and I can have a lesson behind it. It's a really nice connection.
Yeah.
And the texts that I use I've used over and over again, I still like them in a lot of ways, but sometimes certain classes they'll connect for whatever reason. There's a variety of reasons. Dave, so I'm wondering with your work specifically, so as a writing coach, do you ever do something similar where you sort of assign or will offer to one of your clients a reading that will inspire them or sort of give them something to think about? Let's say someone's struggling with plot development, you may give them, some book to focus on plot or give them some kind of a little goosing.
Typically, it's not a book occasionally I'll recommend Stephen King's On Writing, which is a book we've talked about a lot, but I don't have a ton of experience with writing guides.
Right.
Typically, especially with a fiction writer, we'll just read stories together, which feels totally different than the kind of thing we're talking about.
How do you choose what stories to read?
I usually try to choose something along the lines of what they're doing style-wise or genre-wise.
Start with Stuart Dybbuk and...
Right. It's always Pet Milk. Regardless of what they're working on, yeah. And to me, that seems more like revisiting my favorite stories, so it's just kind of pleasure wrapped up into work.
Yeah. I don't know that it is that different, though, because I think that it's a different kind of writing, a different kind of maybe discussion, but the idea of applying something that you know about to further someone else's learning or development it's the same process, right? It's just that sitting down to read Pet Milk would be rewarding or pleasurable.
Pleasurable, sure.
Yeah. Whereas sitting down to read Pedagogy of the Oppressed is interesting, but not quite the same level of pleasure, right? It's not like you're not going to read that and be like, oh, well.
Yes, you will, because that book's great.
It's great, sure, but I don't have the same kind of heart fluttering.
I'm just fucking.
Yeah. It's not going to make me nostalgic, but I do love that book.
It's one of the best.
Yeah, absolutely. I ran into this when I taught my creative writing class for the first time last summer, and I was building my reading list for that class, thinking, well, what do I want them to read? What should they be focusing on here? And trying to find, I think I reached out to Dave. I was looking for a short story that had a good sense of settings. I wanted to talk about settings specifically. And I couldn't think of anything that had a really great sense of place that I wanted to focus on. And he gave me that Kevin Berry short story, which I really liked. I ended up using something else instead. There's some racism in that story, right? I think.
Which one was it? Was it the guy who runs the hotel?
The bar. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There's a little bit of, I was like, I just don't know if I want to bring this up in an online class. If it was an in-person class, it'd been different. But online, it just seemed a bit tricky to try and contextualize that properly. But I ended up using the Martian.
There was something about the employees who work for him.
They're having sex.
They're Lithuanian or Estonian or something.
Yeah. They're all young and hot. And the
Eastern European. Racism, kind of.
Yeah, definitely. And there's just there's some squeaky stuff around
that. It's not racism, but.
Yeah, there's some xenophobia. Right. And then with it, I think some misogyny too, or something kind of creepy.
Okay.
Just enough where I was I don't know if I can really frame this properly in an online 7-week class. But you end up using Martian Chronicles, and it was that same kind of feeling where I was like, oh, this is a text that I like, that I know really well, and it suits this purpose quite effectively. But I don't have a lot of things like the Stephen King On Writing example that are talking about fiction writing. I want to develop more of those for uses in that class because I feel that would be really valuable.
Yeah, I feel like that would be helpful for me too. And I have a list of them, but I don't really.
I think you have to read them, right? You have to go through, read these advice books and be like, which ones are bullshit and which ones are not?
Yes.
Yeah. That's.
I can't be bothered.
I've always avoided those books for that reason.
I actually ordered a bunch last night that are supposed to be delivered today.
Oh, yeah?
So you guys get to watch me skim through and find out if something's worth handing over or not.
Nice.
Are they writing books or pedagogy books?
They're sort of general mindset. I ordered one kind of non-Buddhist book and then a couple more. And we have some people that we're promoting that I want to sort of give a congratulations, but also here's something in the realm of what you're interested in gift. So.
Do you order desk copies of books and stuff like that from publishers or evaluation copies?
Nah, I don't. I mean, I probably could if I were. I got a pretty decent book budget, so I just buy shit. Our school is not big enough that, and I don't want to deal with textbooks because I used to work with them. So right. I don't even deal with those publishers. But if I were to order a big order for our whole agency, I would ask them. But usually I just buy one and then review it. And then if I want to give it out to a group of adults, I'll just buy a bunch.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's reading a... I find interesting, but I guess I wish I was better at it because I don't sit down to read the journals and really sort of take all them in. I'll read articles that seem interesting or relevant to my exact teaching, but I don't stretch out too much.
There's also an element of time in there.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, we just spent an episode talking about how we struggle to read for pleasure.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, what's you're expected to go home and read?
Right.
You know, come on.
Yeah. I mean, I try and do it at work, but I usually don't have time for it. So,
yeah.
And then I just, you know, I'll get stuff in. That's when the skimming comes in, where you really,
oh, yeah.
You know, this book's got a half hour unless it hooks me.
Right.
But even then, I'm not going to, it's not getting my sort of concentration speed.
Right.
You know, it's getting, you know, middle gear. But
yeah. I'm looking for indexes. I'm using Control F to like find certain keywords. I'm trying to like take it apart in some way.
And not for nothing, especially on the, not so much on the research one, but on the sharing kind of angle of it, that structure of book tends to be the one that people are more receptive to. The whole like things that are like very clearly organized with short sections and have the little pullouts. And I imagine it's the same in the classroom where like, yeah, I can just photocopy these three pages and pass it out. And it's not I don't need to sort of summarize this 25 page treatise. I can just copy the three pages from this section of the How to Write book. Right. And then it's much more easily digestible and sort of communicable, which makes it sound infectious. But that's not
what I meant. Catch the excitement that it got you. Well, listeners, let us know on Twitter about your experiences with these. And so like writing, how you use writing, reading in your writing life or working life and so on. We're on Twitter at YakBabies. And we're also, we reach via email at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com. We've mentioned this before or in a while, but go ahead and pop on the podcast app on your phone and give us a rating. We prefer 5 stars and a little review as well.
This might be to cut out because I don't know the answer.
Oh.
Where do they do that now?
I think it's on the podcast app.
On what podcast app?
Like the iPhone podcast app.
Oh, I use a separate one. Maybe I can do it on there.
Because
there's no the iTunes Apple. Anymore, right?
Right. So I think that whatever iTunes was,
whatever the iTunes
turned into Apple Music and the podcast thing.
I use an app called Overcast, and it's great. But
yeah, me too.
I don't know if you can write things on there.
I bet if you Google our podcast and like Apple or something, you'll be able to find the podcast store or something like that.
Right. Check out Overcast because it's good.
Yeah.
It's very navigable.
That's awesome.
You can just kind of sort and make playlists and stuff.
The podcast app is absolute trash. So
yeah, that's why I switched. Yeah.
And if you don't want reviews there, review us in an email. Send us an email and give us a nice review and let us know what you feel. That'd be very nice. And if you prefer to vote with your dollar, you can go to patreon.com/yakbabies. And for $1 a month, you can sign up for our Patreon. There's lots of stuff happening there. It's like a second podcast, basically. This one is like the presentable front door version. And Patreon is the grungy basement where horrible stuff is happening.
You can also request episodes over there, and Aaron will do anything for a dollar.
Well,
we've learned.
It's basically true. Yeah, lots of stuff. There's games, there's sinister things happening as well. It's just a lot.
Yeah. He'll even eat peanut butter.
Yak baby's yakking off.
As long as there's a fleshy middle.
There's a hot dog in this peanut butter.
Extra chunky.
The Yak Babies wish to thank all the personal pals who listen each week, and most especially to send extra thanks to all who have supported on Patreon past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, and William Howard Taft.